Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back to the show. Kevin being forced now to tell people I'm nice. That's sad.
I let people make their own judgments. Unfortunately, I think you have them buffaloed.
I what?
Nothing.
You think I have what?
I said, unfortunately, you have them buffaloed.
I have them buffaloed?
Yeah.
Wow, it's kind of a cruel thing to say with Barty warming up in the bullpen.
Warming up in the bullpen? She's thrown 25 pitches already.
I'd be a little careful about how cocky I get.
Warming up in the bullpen. She's thrown half the game already.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's get to some of the comments from today. You know, Bill O'Brien had his press conference earlier today.
Was it better than, were the questions better than Saturday's?
Well, I have no problem with what people asked.
But some of them were just, I'm sorry, some of them were just dumb questions. All right, I'll say it.
But Kevin, you're going to get, the bottom line is you're going to get, okay, a wide variety. How about that?
But wasn't there a question, and I don't know who asked it, so I can't credit it to anybody, but wasn't there a question on Saturday, what do you think Joe would have thought of the way the team played, or something along that line? I mean, what kind of question is that?
I mean, look, I don't know. Okay, I don't know. I didn't listen to the press conference. I think we played it back yesterday, right?
Yeah, we played part
of it. So I didn't really listen too much of it. Today's press conference, some excerpts from Bill O'Brien.
Bill, can you give us an update on the injuries to Bill Belton and Stephon Morris, and do you expect them to play Saturday?
Those guys are day-to-day, Rich. They're both ankle issues, and they're not serious. So, again, we'll have to wait and see. Usually I'll try to make – if they don't practice by Thursday or Friday, then probably be out of the game. But right now I would say it's day-to-day. It's probable, but, again, won't really know till Thursday. Yeah, I think my role is I'm the head football coach, so Ted Roof is the defensive coordinator. He makes the defensive calls, but I'm right there. On your headset, I have the ability to change over from offense to defense and special teams, so I have a three-way headset. And so I'm on the line with Ted. Obviously as the head coach, I can overrule things and things like that. But again, at the end of the day, Ted calls the defense, and I have a lot of confidence in Ted and the operation of how the defense was called, getting the defense in and the press box operation, all those things that go into the game, I thought went smoothly for our first time out. Well, I think that's a good question, Joe. I'll tell you, though, I've coached in games, MetLife Stadium in New York. I've coached in games in the Oakland Raiders Stadium. I mean, so I've been around some hostile crowds. So I think at the end of the day, the big thing is that we've got to be able to deal with the crowd noise, because having gone to Charlottesville many times at Georgia Tech and Maryland and Duke, it's a very, very loud crowd. It's a great home advantage for Virginia, and we've got to do a great job this week of practicing with the crowd noise, because that's the biggest thing, not what they're yelling, but how loud they are. There was nothing that really surprised me. There's a lot of stuff to build on. Usually close football games, they come down to eight or nine plays on both sides of the ball, especially in college football where you play. In the pros, it's about five or six plays because you don't have as many plays. But in college football, you'd say about eight or nine plays. So, you know, we turned it over. They didn't turn it over. They converted on third down in the second half on offense. We didn't convert on our offense on third down in the second half. We had chances to break passes up, make interceptions. We had chances to hit guys that were wide open or catch the ball being wide open. We didn't make those plays, and Ohio did. And so, again, there's no excuses to be made there, but we have in many areas of our football team a young football team. In other areas, a little bit more of a veteran team. So the veterans need to play better, and the younger guys are going to get better. I don't really want to look back too much, but, you know, Coach Solich has done an excellent job at Ohio. It's his eighth year there. It's his best team, and they came in and did a really good job, especially in the second half. And we've got a lot to build on, a lot of good stuff to build on. Yeah, you know, again, that's their opinion, and I obviously have a lot of respect for our players and their opinions. At the end of the day, we've got to go out there and execute better, coach better. We've got to put our players in better positions, and then our players need to go out there and make plays. And we have playmakers that we know are here in this program that are going to play better. I think it's football. It was an emotional day, but it came down to turnovers, third down conversions, and that's what it usually comes down to in close games. So hopefully we'll improve on that this week. I think I've got to do a better job there. I think we need to be balanced, and we can run the football. We've got a tough offensive line that I think probably one of the units that played the best on Saturday was our offensive line, if not the unit that did play the best. We've got to be more balanced, and that starts with me. So, yeah, hindsight being 20-20, I'd like to say we would not throw it 50 and run it 20. We'd like to be more balanced. Virginia, Coach London has done an excellent job of putting together his style of team. They're a big team. They're a physical team. There's certain units on the team that are veteran guys that play extremely hard. It's going to be a big challenge for us. He's a guy that I've known for a while. I don't know him well, but I know him enough to have a ton of respect for him and what he's done in his career, national championship at Richmond, and the type of team he's put together at UVA. So they've got big, strong athletes that are a physical football team.
Bill O'Brien from his press conference earlier today. Just get everybody a read on what he was thinking. Some of the questions he was asked along the way. Kevin was looking for more of a TMZ feel to it, but
No. I thought I heard too much of that the other day anyway with some of the questioning that was being done. Although I have to admit, and I mentioned earlier the one reporter that asked him what Joe would have thought of the game, I loved his answer. He kind of looked at him and said, "I have no idea." I thought that's the best way to handle that type of a question.
Well,
that's a TMZ question there. That's a TMZ question.
Well, look.
You can't say it, but I will.
No, I mean, I don't know who asked the question.
I don't either.
If it's a kid, it's just that's an experience. If it's a national guy, that's just looking for a narrative. There's no way a regular beat writer asks that question. The beat writers are very smart. They're around it all the time. They get it. And Penn State has a lot of really good beat writers. So I would be shocked completely if it was a beat writer. My guess it would be either someone national or a kid.
Well, my advice to anyone.
Or a blogger or a blogger.
Well, that could be too. Yeah, I didn't think about that. But my advice to anyone in one of those
and bloggers on the category of inexperience. Go ahead.
No, my suggestion to anybody that's asking a question in one of Coach O'Brien's news conferences, make sure it's not a yes or no question, because
well,
that's what you'll get, because he's a very direct kind. I mean, my impression of him, and I don't know him from anybody. I mean, you've had much more contact, but he seems like a very direct answer kind of guy. He doesn't sugarcoat it, doesn't beat around the bush.
Right. He is, but he also is sitting there after an emotional day.
Absolutely.
He didn't win. So the thought of a yes or no question probably ended up with a lot of yeses and nos. Michael Zornich talked to the media earlier today as well. And thoughts on this week?
Well, I think the one of the most important things, is, you know, sticking together through it, you know, like staying close and not pointing fingers and, you know, just – Letting that loss be a loss and moving on to the next game, you know, turning the page. And, you know, that's one thing that we have been conveying, and I think that our team does a great job of that anyway. I don't see very much. After everything that we've been through, I don't see much tearing us apart as a team. But then, like I said, the next big thing is just short-term memory, you know, forgetting what happened. Learning from it, and quit thinking about it, and move on to the next game, because we're already in the meeting rooms watching another team on film, and we got another opponent come Saturday. Underdog pretty much means nothing to us anymore. I think we've been that for a while now, and you know, we were underdogs to Ohio coming into our own stadium. So, you know, we just kind of take that with a grain of salt, and just, you know, keep pushing, because we're concentrated on what we need to do, and that's taken care of. Taking care of our side of the ball and our team. And, you know, we all have our own goals, and that's to win. So we're going to go out and do everything we can to do that. We've said since day one, since all this stuff broke out, that, you know, road games are going to be pretty brutal for us. And you know, that's just something you have to deal with. Typically, even when you're not in our situation, road games are brutal. That's just how football is. You know, that's the beautiful thing about home field advantage. But, you know, you can't really let the crowd play too much of a role. And if anything, you have to let it motivate you. When it comes to football and on the field, I would say that it's almost fun to be not liked while you're playing, because it's a good feeling to be at somebody else's stadium and be up and not hear anything from the entire crowd, you know.
Michael Zornich at his press conference today. See, Kevin, the key is to not be liked.
Is that what it is?
That's what he said.
You know what? I like that we've been underdogs for a while now, so it's fun.
I like that attitude, though. I mean, that's.
I also liked at the beginning of the fourth quarter, and ESPN had a great shot of this, I must admit, is Motti in the middle of the huddle firing everybody up. That's the kind of guy you like playing alongside.
Oh, Motti?
Yeah.
Motti's fabulous. Motti is absolutely fabulous.
I mean, he was definitely intense, but he's the kind of, he just looks like he's the kind of guy that would say, you know, it's my job to fire this team up and get them ready for the next quarter.
Well, no, and that's the way it is, but that's leadership.
Right.
One of the great things about leaders, I'll tell you a quick Joe story. It goes back to the 60s. And he had Mike Reed, Steve Smear. And he said, look, he said, if I had a problem, they came up to me, don't worry, we got it. Every coach dreams of that. Mike Krzyzewski, when he was here last, a year ago in June, Mike Krzyzewski was here, 14 and a half months ago, when he and Joe sat down together at Eisenhower Auditorium for that show on ESPN. And he said that one of the great years he ever had as a coach was when Shane Battier was a senior. He said, because Shane Battier took care of every little thing you could think of. Krzyzewski didn't have to motivate the team. Battier did that. Krzyzewski did not have to discipline a player. Battier basically took care of that. Didn't have to pull a player aside and have the talk. Because Battier would pull them aside and give them the talk about what is expected to be a Duke basketball player. That's when coaching is an absolute joy. When you're winning and you have leaders. And you can just concentrate on game plan. Because everything that bogs down a coach are all those things I just talked about. Have to pull a guy aside. Let him know he's not working hard enough. Pull a guy aside. Tell him that, you know, he needs to get it going. Pull a guy aside, discipline him. Pull a guy aside, have a problem. When problems are being solved and taken care of in the locker room, you sit back and you say, how did I get this lucky? Maudie's a leader. Zordich is a leader. So... It makes a big difference, huge difference. So, like, look at this show. Right, Kevin?
Uh-huh. I'm waiting.
Your leadership means everything to us.
Right. That's what I thought you were going with it.
What?
That's where I thought you were.
What?
Yeah. So what's game week like now as you get into the regular routine? What's the game week like for Penn State?
How about if we talk about that after we take a commercial break?
Okay.
I mean, one of us has to be aware of what the clock is.
Good point.
Yeah, that'd be me. We'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK after this.
Way to be a leader.
At Sunbury Motors, the rewards are many. And the regrets? Well, the regrets just don't happen. That's because no matter what vehicle you buy from Sunbury Motor Company, you are guaranteed to be satisfied. Not only when you first get that new or used car, truck, or SUV, but when you have your vehicle serviced, you'll always have the best experience possible from start to finish. Talk about variety being the spice of life? Well, at Sunbury Motor Company, you have the luxury of choosing from all the best brands like Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln. Each and every vehicle comes with awesome service and financing plans that fit your budget and are super easy to afford. You can even submit a financing application online and calculate the value of your trade-in. Ask about Sunbury Motors Tire Rewards Program. Service, parts, body shop, and quick lane too. New or used, the best vehicles come from Sunbury Motor Company. Visit sunburymotors.com to see all their new and used inventory and visit the North 4th Street Auto Plaza in Sunbury or Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Business owners, listen up. Reducing your electric bill goes hand in hand with increasing your energy efficiency. And now you can accomplish both with a hand from Lenape Solar, your approved PP&L e-Power Trade Ally. Upgrading to energy-efficient lighting in your facility has never been simpler or more affordable, and we do all of the paperwork for you. The ePower Direct Discount Program for PP&L customers pays you upfront for up to 75% of the project cost. And with the savings you'll clearly see, your project can easily pay for itself in less than a year. Lenape Solar is your trusted local source for energy efficiency and solar energy solutions. And now is the time to lower your business's electric bill and increase your bottom line forever. With a hand from Lenape Solar, this is Justin Charles, and I invite you to schedule your free, no-obligation energy analysis today by calling 570-286-1496, visiting Lenape Solar at 140 South 2nd Street in Sunbury, or find us online at lenapesolar.com.
Howdy. All right, so.
Howdy?
Every time I say that, you get freaked out.
Howdy. No, I just think it's funny. Last time I heard howdy, I was in Austin, Texas.
I was on last week's show, and you didn't like it then. So, I did it last week.
I know. This is the last time I heard howdy from someone other than you, I was in Texas.
You asked about game week.
Yeah, what's game week like now that you get into the regular routine?
Well, they go 4:30 every day, which makes a difference. They have classes and so forth they have to go through. And, you know, they put in the game plan on Monday. Then they really try to start weeding through, you know, what they can and can't do with it today. There's more hitting today, less hitting tomorrow. They'll make a decision after tomorrow exactly what to really put in. Then they'll work on the script for what they want to do on Thursday. And then Friday,
Michael Owen
fly
has
down
ended
there,
speculation
get a,
about.
Get to a walkthrough. Sorry about that. Get to a walkthrough probably down there.
All of a sudden, the BBC came in. That's what I was going to ask you. Is it a Friday afternoon departure type thing, or does it vary week to week?
Yep. Wait till you hear this. You'll love it. 1:45.
Let's see. 1:45 should be. Oh, well, then you'll be fine by 3 o'clock.
No, the team leaves at 2:15. I have to leave at 1:45. We do this in three buses for security.
Three buses to the airport, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
I was going to say, if you're taking a bus to Virginia, you got a bad deal.
Take bus three out of this, and we go through security first. Then they'll bus us from there out to the plane, and bus two will then be pulling up just as we're finished. They'll then take that group through. That's the defense on bus two. They'll get another bus on the backside of the building. When they're done, they'll then drive them out to the plane. It's bus one with the offense pulls up, and then they go through security.
Must make it a little easier then to get things through security instead of having everybody line up at once and have 100
some that's the
people.
Reason. Yeah, that's the reason they came up with this system a few years ago, and it really does work efficiently. I mean, I end up sitting on the plane actually for a while. I mean, I'll sit on the plane usually for about 45, 50 minutes. Even an hour sometimes waiting to take off, but that's fine. You're already through, and I usually I'll bring something to read.
Yeah, what do you care? You're in the first class anyway with the comfy seats. You're good.
Not how it works. They're all the same. There's no difference in any seat on the plane. Now, for basketball, years ago we took NBA planes. Now, those are cool.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us. Our number 1-800-795-9565. Kevin, looking forward to a big showdown, and it is a big showdown. The home opener for Shikellamy.
That's on Friday night against Mifflinburg.
Mifflinburg, Friday night at 7. Looking forward to that. Should be a good one. I know you're looking forward to it.
I love Friday nights in the fall. For the last 20 years, it's been my life in the fall. I enjoy it. I get to see football for free.
I understand that.
And then they pay you to do it.
So I always tell the kids in my class, I said, you got to go to games. And they give you money. Let's see. Andy Roddick plays a fourth-round match today against Del Potro. I mean, he's retiring after all this. Notre Dame Radio suspends Pinkett for 3 games. Well, how about that? Now, is he 3 more games? Let's see. Without pay, by the way. Has a supportive fan base. More supportively, has expressed deep, heartfelt remorse for his choice of words, which is not in the spirit of college athletics. Notre Dame IMG Radio Network said today in a statement, after careful deliberation and thorough discussion, we believe the right decision is to allow a truly repentant Alan Pinkett to the opportunity to return to the booth beginning with the 4th game of the college football season. It's his 12th year there, so.
Oh, it's like we were talking about the other day. The bad part of that whole thing is he had a chance to kind of clarify his comments or, clean them up a little bit and decided not to. So that's the bad part of that particular situation.
Right. And he wouldn't change up. Which, okay, that happens.
But he stood behind his comments. I give him that.
Yeah, you know, he did do that. There's no doubt about that. He did stand behind what he said. So, there you go. He will not be in the next couple of games on the radio. Jack Ham and I, on the other hand, you're still stuck with us.
And got Nick on the line from Lewisburg for you, Steve.
Hi, Nick. How are you? How's everything?
Pretty good. I wanted to ask you what your reaction was to Mr. Lombardo's column in the Senate Daily Times on Saturday. I'll just listen.
You're going to have to tell me what it was, because it was game day and I didn't read the paper. So what was it? Hello, Nick.
I think we lost him there.
I did not see it. And I had the paper that morning, but I did not read the paper because I had to be at the stadium earlier. So I did not get a chance to
get an early wake-up call.
No, I just didn't get a chance to even look at it, to look at the paper. So if Nick wants to call back and at least give me the loose translation of what it was, then I would be more than happy to react to it. Nick, I think Nick may have found it. Go ahead, Nick.
Well,
go ahead. I think you found it? Okay.
Well, no, I read it. Basically, the column, Mr. Lombardo, who is an attorney, said the NCAA really had no legal basis for the sanctions. And he also went on to say that actually the main... main point of his column was that everybody reacted through fear rather than reacting with the knowledge of the what the actual facts were. If they had reacted, if the trustees had reacted the way they through knowledge of the facts, and I'm merely paraphrasing what Mr. Lombardo said. And I fully agree with him. Let me point that out. He said they would have resisted the sanctions because in essence the NCAA really had no legal basis for doing what they did. Now I'll listen.
Well, I'm not going to get into as to what Penn State's reaction's been. I'm not gonna go there for the moment because, I mean, the reaction is still playing out. What I don't like about what the NCAA did is as follows. And this will be a statement, Nick, I have made before. So I'm not saying anything I have not said before. When you have a case like this, I think the single most important thing you can do is if there's an alleged perpetrator, to arrest the alleged perpetrator, build the case, have a fair but speedy trial, and if the alleged perpetrator is found to be guilty, then you've taken a threat to society off the street. The rest of this you can figure out as you go along as to what did and didn't happen surrounding it, because you are talking about individuals who are not threats to society. And the one thing that has not happened in all this is that judgment has been rendered without having all the pieces of the puzzle put forward. We have not yet heard at all from Tim Curley. We have not yet heard at all from Gary Schultz, other than their grand jury testimony. We have not heard their trials. Thus, the ability to fill in the gaps that are in the Free report, which Director Free himself admits that there are gaps because he prefaced his press conference with, I could not talk to Tim Curley, obvious reasons. Could not talk to Gary Schultz, obvious reasons. Asked by the Attorney General not to talk to Mike McQuarrie, because Mike's pivotal in the case. And that he could not talk to Joe Paterno, because even though it is understanding that Joe would completely cooperate, his illness and then subsequent death prevented them from talking with him. So right away, he prefaced the press conference by saying that even he admits this is not a complete body of work. And to make a judgment on what even the individual prefaces as not a complete body of work, and without having the trials of two individuals, which are still pending, to not have those finished so that you may have the ability to then fill in all the gaps and thus get a more complete story, that to me is where the NCAA has failed in all this. And that's that, and they've had the ability to take incredible they've had the ability over time to take months and months and months to decide whether a kid gets a sixth year. And then they won't, and then they also, they render this judgment like this without having all of the facts. And that's the part that bothers me, that judgment was made by the NCAA without having all the facts. So that's my answer to that. And that's the same answer I've been giving for a while anyway. There's no difference in what I was talking about before. To me, once you get all the holes filled in, if you listen to Tim's testimony, you listen to Gary's testimony, you then get a feel as to whether you believe it or you don't believe it, then you render judgment. So that's how I look at it. And from a legal point of view, whether they could or couldn't, I'd have to know more about the bylaws, but it certainly is an interesting premise. Certainly is an interesting premise. 1-800-795-9565 is our number. As we continue on, that's the Lenape Solar Hotline. We're in the beautiful Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. You can always just jump on board and talk with us. We're looking forward to talking about anything. Your thoughts on the game, how it played out. We've had some calls about that today. So more than happy to talk about that. Bill Belton, ankle injury, not sure about Saturday. If he can't go, then the first person that would be up would be Derek Day. And probably after that, probably be Akeel Lynch. Stephon Morris, ankle injury. Again, not sure about Saturday yet. He can't go. Daquan Davis would probably be the next person up at that spot. So that's where the injuries stand at this stage. And I'll get a better read on that in about 25 minutes, to be honest with you. Get a much better read on that in about 25 minutes myself.
And then you can tweet it.
No.
All right. Just let it dry.
I know you try, but even say I were active in that realm, I still wouldn't do it because I think, you know, that's part of the unwritten and unsaid spoken, unspoken part of practice.
No, I agree.
Is that, you know, you're allowed in because you have permission of the coach to be there with the idea that it's giving me deep background to work with on Saturday. How about that?
No, I totally agree with you. I wouldn't do that either. I was
I know you wouldn't.
Tongue in cheek when I did that.
Right,
but
right. I know you're just joking. That I totally understand that you're just joking.
But you're absolutely right. There's, you know, and I deal with it a little bit more at the high school level because you're dealing with multiple coaches that are right in your backyard. So it's a lot easier for teams to scout other teams and find information about other teams than it is in the college level, where it's a lot more restricted. So, yeah, it's there's a level of trust when a coach says, yeah, you can come out and see practice.
Right. So you do that with the idea that, hey, look, you know, that's deep background. And you just go from there. So, but, you know, that's the way it's played out, that if Belton would be out, that Day was next. Lynch, I think, probably is next after that. And then you choose between Zwinek and Duke says who'd be next after that. But then when you get to the corner spot, Daquan Davis. He's the next one up after Stephon Morris. 1-800-795-9565. A little excitement here in State College tonight because Starling Marte, the top prospect in all of the Pirates organization, who hit a home run in the very first pitch he saw in the major leagues, going to play for the Spikes tonight in a rehab assignment. That's only the third time that's ever happened here. Zach Duke started a game here in a rehab. Phil DeMatre started a game in a rehab. But that's been it. There have been a couple other guys that have done rehabs here, like Tyler Clippard, who has 29 saves for the Nationals. He did a rehab here once. Doug in Wellsboro. Hi, Doug. Go ahead. Great to hear from you.
You too, Steve. Hey, I have a question. I mean, is this the way they played on Saturday? Is this the state of the program now as is? Is that the best that this team can do? I mean, to me, they're paper thin. They have no depth behind, no depth under them. Is this just basically what this team is? And what does that say for the next 3, 4, 5 years when the recruits they're bringing in are not going to be supposed 4-star, 5-star players? I mean, is that the best this team is going to do? Are we getting too? Are our expectations too high for what this team is?
Well, I think this is actually going to be a good team, to be honest with you. I think it's going to be a good team, Doug, before it's all said and done. One thing, when you look at styles coming to play here, at Ohio University style, I think Tettleton's is a good thrower. He's not a great thrower, but he's a good thrower, okay? But
yeah.
I think that style comes into play, that he gets the ball, boom, quick look, pitch, catch, move on. That's difficult for what Penn State wants to do. What Penn State wants to do defensively is he wants to blitz. He wants to put pressure on you. It's hard to put pressure on in a situation like that, and it's also hard to really get something going defensively against something like that when everything's underneath all the time and you have to gamble a little bit. I mean, the play of the game for them was was a play where Penn State had tremendous pressure on him, and he threw up a wounded duck, and Obeng Archibong was able to deflect it. And it turned out what he did was and of course he didn't know it, but he deflected away an interception from Malcolm Willis, and Landon Smith caught it, and he ran for a touchdown.
Yeah, I know. We all saw that. But still, yeah. They were still had the lead, and they still could have done something about it. They still had over, right. Almost a good 2 quarters to do something about it, and they didn't.
And they did not. And what happened was in the second half, Ohio University totally owned the second half. Part of that's the style of play on offense. You can't really blitz it and get aggressive with something like that. And it's also very difficult along the way when everything's underneath, because they don't take any chances with it. What bothers me is how well Ohio University ran the football. And Ohio
Right.
University ran the football too well in that game. Penn State's defensive ends have to play better. And that's actually the focus I saw right away, is that the ends exposed the linebackers too much and didn't do enough to get to the outside and turn a play like that inside. So the end play is going to have to be better for Penn State without question. Offensively, the field's too long for them. They need to get a shorter field, which means they do have to do a better job on kick returns, and they also have to do a better job of getting three and outs.
How will it be different, Virginia? I mean, I know it was different, many years ago when Womack down there, the last time down there, they ran all over them. They couldn't stop that.
Right.
But this year's the same thing. I mean, how are they going to stop the run?
Well, I think what they're going to have to do is they'll have to be able to gang up a little bit better against the run compared to what they saw against Ohio University, because Ohio University was always in the shotgun and so forth. Michael Rocco's not always in the shotgun. What they're going to have to contend with, Doug, will be a much bigger offensive line. That is a big offensive line that they have at Virginia, and they like to play some power football against you. So Penn State's going to have to use their front seven in this power formation, and they're going to have to do a better job of knocking them off. That means those ends are going to have to be better, because I think they're pretty good at tackle. I think Hill and Jones and Terry and those guys are all pretty good at the tackle spot. So I think they'll be fine there, and I'm okay with what Carson can do. We know what Hodges and obviously and Maude can do as well. So they're going to have to stop the run and force Michael Rocco to beat them throwing the football. And I think that against Virginia, they'll be able to do a better job, I think, against Rocco style-wise compared to what we saw against Ohio University, because the style just did not match up right with what Penn State wanted to do.
Do you honestly think they have a chance of winning the game?
Sure I do.
Okay.
You can't turn the ball over. I mean, Penn State lost a minimum of 3 points and possibly 7 points on the Belton fumble. They then gave up 3 points on the Hodges fumble. The last one was just at the end of the game. That's just trying to – but though your minus three giveaway takeaway in a game like that, the one play that Penn State made in the game, the one play, was, of course, the block punt by Naeem Wortman, and it turned out Penn State got 7 points out of that. So you can't lose that turnover battle and go on the road. If they're minus three giveaway takeaway in this game, they're not going to win.
Yeah, this team, I mean, the margin of error is so small. They've got to have everything go right for them to, you know, have a decent chance of winning. So, but
yeah, I mean, again, they have to swing it. They have to swing it their way, and they have to give the offense a shorter field to work with. I think with a shorter field to work with, the odds of finishing a drive will be better, because it's one thing Penn State didn't do a good job of. They did not finish drives well in that game.
Yeah, you're totally right. Okay, thanks for taking my call, Steve.
Thanks, Doug. We'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK after this. All right, wrapping up for today. Great to have you with us here as we roll on in the show. And, well, interesting comments from Doug. And, yeah, it's, you know, one game is, you know, that's one thing about one game is not the whole season, and one game is not a program. Simple as that. Okay, and that's something you got to remember. One game is not a season. One game is not a program. You know, and I think there a lot was put into this thing, and I understand that, but still.
And as I said yesterday, you can't take anything away from Ohio. That is a solid football team.
No, they are a solid football team.
You're looking at the number one team in their division, probably neck, and in the MAC, they're probably number two with Toledo even on right. the in the other division.
Right. And so.
And the MAC isn't the MAC that it used to be. You know, the MAC is a much improved conference in general. And I think that's a lot. Right. That's another thing that a lot of people forget. We all sit back and think of the MAC as just one of those other conferences that you play on opening day. Not right. as being a competitive conference, and I think this is a competitive conference.
Right. You know, so, and you know, but still, it's a Big Ten team, it's a MAC team. I think that's what people are upset about.
I totally
understand that. Ohio University is very good coming off their first bowl win ever. And, you know, to be honest with you, it's, you know, fans are disappointed. They, you know, and look, a lot of emotion was put into this. Okay, there was a lot of emotion put into this first game. So now you have to shake it off and bounce back, show what you got. Go from there.
A win on the road would be big, too.
Any win right now would be big. Yeah, no doubt about that. So tomorrow, we'll hear from our friends at stickcollege.com as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.